Begin reading together in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 51, as we continue our series in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 51, verse number 1. We'll read the first 5 verses, we'll make our prayer, and then we'll jump into this message together. The Bible says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the wonderful blessings that you have given to us. We're grateful for the opportunity that we can look to your word and that we can learn and grow and we can gain wisdom for our life each and every day. And Lord, I pray if there's an individual that is present this morning that is struggling with discouragement in their life, that they would find the answer in your word, that they would trust in you, that they would trust in your purpose and plan for their life. Lord, I pray you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray your word would fall on good ground this morning. I pray it would spring up and grow in our hearts and in our lives. And may you be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout the book of Isaiah, through our study, we often are brought to a place of decision. The writer here would often bring us to a place where we would turn to the Lord, where we would turn away from idols, where we would cast these idols aside, and we would turn to the true God, the God of the Bible. But yet in Isaiah chapter 51, we notice that in this passage of Scripture, it's a message to those who are seeking after righteousness. It's a message for those who would seek the Lord. This is a word of encouragement to those who would follow after the Lord today. And if it is your desire this morning to live a godly life or a godlike life, then this message is truly for you. Maybe you've been weary of everything that's happening in your life. Maybe you're weary of everything that's happening in our world today, from a pandemic to high food prices to very high gas prices, to war, to evil all around us. It's easy for us to look at these things and become discouraged. And yet this text from Isaiah is really good news. In fact, it is extremely hopeful. It is optimistic. It is motivating. You see, God's people felt defeated. They were in a dark place in their life. They were sent away as captives in Babylon. And yet the prophet is saying, look to the Lord. You know, once you get discouraged, it's really hard to get out of that hole. And that's the desire, Christian, listen to me, that's the desire of the devil today. The devil wants you to be discouraged. The devil wants you to be despondent. The devil wants you to feel defeated. I heard the story, a humorous story of the devil was having a yard sale, and he was selling all of his tools. And on that day, the tools were all laid out, and they had prices marked on them for public inspection. And there were a lot of treacherous instruments. There was hatred and jealousy and envy and deceit and pride and lying and so on. And laid apart from the rest of the devil's tools was a tool, but it was worn more than the others. You could tell that this tool was used a lot and the price was extremely high. "What's the name of this tool?" asked one of the customers. "That," the devil replied, "is discouragement." "Why is the price so high?" said the customer. The devil replied, "Because discouragement is used more than all the other tools I own. I can pry open and get inside man's heart when I cannot get near them with any of my other tools. It's badly worn because I use it on almost everyone, since so few people know that it even belongs to me." The Lord is saying in our text, "Look unto me. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord." And maybe this is where you are this morning. Maybe you're discouraged and maybe you need some encouragement. This message here is for you this morning. I want us to notice, if we could, first of all, if you're taking notes, would you notice, consider God's foundation. God's foundation. We notice in this passage of Scripture that they are to look to the rock from whence ye are hewn. Their foundation came from Abraham and Sarah. And in fact, we can look at Hebrews chapter 11. It speaks of the faith of Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8, the Bible says this: "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And Abraham went out, not knowing whither he went." Abraham was a man of faith. I hope you would agree with that. Abraham was a man of faith, and God blessed Abraham, and God blessed Sarah, and gave them a son. And that son became Judah's heritage, their foundation. But this foundation that is found in Isaiah 51 is more than just Abraham and Sarah. This foundation is God's work in their life. You see, over and over again, when we look at Israel, we can trace God's blessing. We can trace God's increase, God's help in their life. And yet, I love how the Bible says to look to the rock. Now, the interpretation is their foundation or heritage. There's no doubt about it. It references Abraham and Sarah and God leading and blessing in their life. And from Abraham's obedience came a nation. But also this rock has a prophetic meaning. The rock speaks of Jesus. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in our Bibles together. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice what the Scripture says in verse number 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ." Throughout the story of Israel, we find the rock. And the rock is a picture of Jesus. He was their guide. He was their strength. He was their help in difficult times. He was their provider. And Christian, today our foundation is found in Jesus Christ. He is our hope today. And in discouraging times, we must look to the rock. We must look to that very foundation. In fact, we can this morning consider His salvation. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Consider the hole that you were in. Consider the hole that God dug you out." We were all in the pit of sin. We were without hope. We were without help. And Jesus came to us. Jesus intervened in our life, and He died for our sins that separated us from God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Would you turn there? 1 John chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says in the third chapter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Behold." 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You see, if you're a Christian today, then you have a blessed assurance. You have a hope. You have a foundation that your sins are forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven. Consider that God saved you today. But also consider his blessings. In verse 2 of our text in Isaiah 51, Abraham was called by God and blessed. In verse 2, we see that God had given Abraham increase. And God has saved us, but also he has blessed us. I know the world looks bleak today. But if you're a Christian, you're a blessed individual. You are increased by God. You have eternal hope in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you. You have God's Word to lead you and to help you. You have a local church that preaches the Word of God. It's not perfect, but we serve a perfect Savior. And God is there to help us and direct us. The psalmist said in Psalm 68, verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits." God daily blesses us and gives us these benefits. His blessings are numerous. His blessings are wonderful. But I want us to also consider his comfort. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "The Lord will comfort Zion." God would bring peace to broken hearts. God would bring comfort to troubling minds. By remembering God's work in the past, they should be comforted in the future. Abraham and Sarah were a reminder that God finishes what he starts. That God wants to flourish our life with joy and with peace and with gladness. God wants to fill our life with thanksgiving, verse number 3. He wants our mouth to be filled with songs of praise. And by the way, friend, this is how we conquer discouragement. We look to the Lord who delivered us. This is how we conquer discouragement, by remembering the Lord who's in control of the circumstances of our life. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Would you turn there? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. And notice what the Bible says here. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. The Bible says this, verse number 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Looking unto Jesus. Take time today and consider the Lord. Consider his redemption. Consider his love for you. His desire for you to succeed. Listen, if you're always looking down at the world, if your focus is always on the world, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to feel despondent. You're going to feel defeated. You got to look up. When we were driving to Montreal, or heading home from Montreal, Brandon was playing a game on his iPad. And as we were driving on the 401, we were going through the dark depths of Toronto. And we heard something that no parent wants to hear. "I feel sick." We couldn't pull over. There was no place to pull over. And so my wife is looking back saying, "Look up! Look up!" And Christian, I want to remind you today to look up. Look to the Lord. Look to His salvation. Look to His redemption. He is in control. You can trust in Him. Number two, I want us to notice this morning, consider God's word. Consider God's word. In verse 4, the Bible says, "Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near," verse 5. "My salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust." Judah was in exile. 70 years they would be captives in a strange land. 70 years they would be captives to the Babylonians. You could imagine the burden that would be placed upon them. A strange land, strange gods, strange customs. And Christian, I want to remind you this morning that this world is not our home. This world doesn't think like a Christian. They don't have the same priorities as Christians. They don't have the mind of Christ. In fact, we could honestly say that we are strangers in this world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I beg you, as strangers and pilgrims." Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do we renew our mind? It is through the Word of God. The Word of God is what directs us. The Word of God is what challenges us and changes us. And so we notice in this passage of Scripture that God's Word is a light given by God. Verse number 4, the word Torah here is the thought of instruction. And this instruction was given by God. God had given His people this instruction, and its meaning can really extend as far as prophetically the millennial kingdom of the Lord. That God would rule in justice. He would rule in grace and peace. And the Bible says that God had given light to Judah's situation. God had given them judgment. God had given them direction. And the message of the Bible is, will you listen to the direction I give to you? I think we can draw application this morning to the light of God's Word. Because the light of God's Word is our light that guides us in 2022. We're living in some fearful times. We're living in some uncertain times, and yet it is the Word of God that is our guide. It's the Word of God that directs us and teaches us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." The Bible is a light that shines in a dark place, and it guides us and directs us and helps us. And God's light will guide us through the darkness of these uncertain days. And I want to remind you this morning that nothing has happened over these last 3 years that is not taught in the Bible. I'm talking about pestilence. I'm talking about wars and rumors of wars and wickedness and evil men waxing worse and worse and deception and deceivers. All of this is in the Bible. There's no excuse for the Christian to be in the dark. The Bible gives us rest knowing that He's aware of the situation. God's in control. But also we notice it's promises given by God. Not only is it light, but also its promises. It says in verse 5 here in our text, "My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arms shall they trust." God was going to act. And even though Judah was in 70 years of exile, God was going to raise up Cyrus, the Persian king, and deliver his people. God wasn't going to sit still. Judah would be delivered. God would eventually judge the Babylonians. But here's the key. Here's the key. The Bible says that the righteous would wait on the Lord. Because God is never early and God is never late. He is always on time. Always on time. The Bible says that they would wait on the Lord and they would remember these promises. They would trust in the power and the might of Almighty God. I'm glad today that we have wonderful promises in the Bible that can keep us from discouragement. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Aren't you glad for that one? You know that Jesus is present with us this morning? He says, where two or three are gathered in the midst, he says, I'm there, I'm present, I'm in the midst of them. God is here. I'm glad for the promise that he's coming back one day. I'm glad for the promise, if you're a Christian, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm glad for the promise that no harm will come into a Christian's life unless God allows it. All of our situations are Father filtered. And all of these promises are encouraging reminders to trust this strong arm of God. His presence, I will never leave thee. His protection, I am thy shield. His power, I will strengthen thee. His provision, I will help thee. And his purposes, he has thoughts of peace and not of evil. And friend, all of these promises are found in the eternal word of God. And all of these promises are there to encourage us. You say, Pastor, I'm discouraged. Then maybe you're sitting on the premises and not standing on the promises. Because God is very aware of what's happening in your life and in the world. And he's given us promises to prop us up and to remind us that he's always in control. William Carey, a missionary of the past, said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. The future is as bright as the promises of God. And no matter how dark this world gets, no matter how dark this world gets, the promises of God are bright. Someone was asking me the other day if I think that this world will go into a World War III. And they said, what do you think the Bible says? And I said, well, I don't think there'll be a World War III. And they say, oh, because the Bible says it? I said, no, because I don't want there to be a World War III. The Bible doesn't give us any instruction, but I can tell you this, whatever happens, God knows. And God's in control. And you can trust the promises of God. You can trust that God is there and God is aware and God will help us. And so he gives us a declaration in verse number 6 to help us to understand that his promises are sure. He says the earth will vanish away, verse number 6. And one day we're going to leave this old earth. And yet God's declaration is that his truth and his salvation endure forever. You can trust the word of God for your life today. You can trust it for your family. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You can trust God's eternal word for your life. But thirdly, I want us to notice, if you're discouraged, then you need to consider God's work. Consider God's work. In verse number 7, it says, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revelings. You can imagine for a people in captivity, it would be easy for them to focus their attention on what they could see. It would be easy for them to look at the scorn or the revelings of the world. It would be easy for them to focus their attention on the threat of death. It would be easy for them to focus their attention on the oppression of men. And when we focus on this world, listen, we become fearful. And fear is not from God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And often Jesus would give the contrast of faithlessness and fearfulness. He would say, where is your faith? Why are you fearful? Where is your faith? Why do you have fear? It's a sinful response to the unknown. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times in my life I've been fearful. But God doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to trust. He wants us to trust His power and His care for us. He wants for us to lean on His promises. And so God reminds us that our true strength is found in Him. The Bible says this in Proverbs 24, verse 10. Let me read it to you. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word there, wait, is so important. The word there, wait, is not you twiddling your thumbs and just saying, well, you know, what am I going to do now? I have nothing to do. The thought there of waiting is expecting God to show up. They that are expecting God to show up, they're not going to be discouraged. Amen? Those that are expecting God to intervene are not going to be despondent because their strength will be renewed. And they're going to mount up as wings as eagles, and they're going to run, and they're not going to be faint. And so we notice this prayer in verse number 9. It's a prayer of the righteous. He says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. The thought here is not that God was asleep, but that the prophet is crying for God to act. He's saying, God, you need to act. God, you need to work. I'm expecting you to show up. He says here, for God to act in the ancient days. In the generations of old. The God who cut Rahab, and the name there, Rahab, means pride and wounded the dragon, and it's a direct reference to God's victory over the devil at Calvary, that we were lost in our sin, that we were undone, but God intervened, God showed up, and God saved us, and He destroyed the very work of the devil. The Bible says in Psalm 89, verse 10, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain, and hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. Jesus came and crushed the serpent's head. Jesus came and destroyed the work of the devil. And the prophet said, Lord, you need to intervene. Like you intervened for our eternal soul. Like you intervened when you delivered God's people from the Red Sea and you dried up the sea, it says in verse 10. And you made a pathway for God's people to pass. God, we need you to show up. And we need God to show up today. God, show your strong arm. And the prayer of the prophet was, Lord, show your strong arm to this people. Bring them back to their land. And God says, I will intervene. I will show up. And I will bring them back to their land. And they will come with singing. And they will come with gladness. And they will come with joy. God's saying, you don't have to be discouraged. Because I'm at work in your life. You don't have to fear. Just trust that I'm in control. I want us to notice, as I close this message out, I want us to notice some simple principles from this chapter that will help us. First of all, this first principle, don't live for the temporal, look to the eternal. Don't live for the temporal, look to the eternal. In verse 12, Isaiah said, not to be afraid of a man that shall die. The fury of the oppressor brought stress. Verse 13, the fury of the oppressor brought stress to their life every single day. And yet the Bible principle is that man can never undo God's plan in our lives. The work of men are as grass. And the Bible says, don't look to men. Don't look to humanity. Don't look to this world. Don't forget your Creator. Because God's work is eternal. And the purposes of God is that you would flourish. The purposes of God, verse 14, is that you would move forward. And God can be trusted. When God delivered his people from Egypt, and when they came out of Egypt, the very first thing they said to God was, did you bring us here to die? Did you bring us here that we would die in the wilderness? Now, listen to me. That's an ignorant statement of the purposes of God in an individual's life. You see, far more good has come from your situation in life. If you're a Christian today, God's leading, then you'll ever understand. You say, God, why did you bring me to this place? And you're always focused on the temporal, but God has an eternal purpose. And that eternal purpose you may not be able to see with your eyes, but you got to trust that God's at work in your life. The Bible says this, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, I want you to see this passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Look what the Bible says here. Underline it, highlight it in your Bible. It's a good passage of Scripture to remind us of God's eternal work in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says this, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things, verse 18, that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God doesn't lead us to destroy us. Understand that. God doesn't bring us to this place so that we would be hurt. His desire is to help us, to bless us. In verse 16, the Bible says he's covering us with the shadow of his hand. We are always in his care. So look at the eternal and not the temporal and understand that God's at work in your life. And then, secondly, wake up and see God's work in your life. Judah was under God's judgment. There's no doubt about that. They were there because of their sin. And yet God was trying to get their attention so that they would follow him. And when we're in a difficult situation, all we see is the difficult situation. And someone said, when you're up to your neck in alligators, it's difficult to keep your mind on the fact that your primary objective is to drain the swamp. And yet God has a purpose in the situation you're in. God wants to teach you some eternal lessons. And so God says to this people, wake up. Awake, awake, he says. He says, listen, trust in me. Don't miss the lesson that I have for you. I think we've learned some lessons over COVID. God help us not to forget those lessons. God help us to not forget what God is teaching us. Because at the end of the day, God's in control. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says, "And now, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." God, help us today to trust in the Lord. God doesn't want us to be discouraged today. God wants us to be optimistic that He is in control. I'll be honest with you, if I could confess to you this morning, I was pretty discouraged when the church truck was stolen. I was frustrated. I remember it being in my office saying, "Lord, why did you allow this to happen? You could have intervened." I heard the story of a gentleman who was furiously running up to John Wesley, shouting, "Mr. Wesley, Mr. Wesley, something terrible has happened." He said, "Your house has burned to the ground." And weighing the news in his mind, Wesley replied, "No, the Lord's house burned to the ground. God will take care of it." At the end of the day, I had to remember it wasn't my truck, it was the Lord's truck. And God has an eternal purpose in all of it. And it's not always it's not always easy to understand, but we have to trust that God knows what is best. So where are you at today? Are you discouraged? God wants you to be encouraged. Consider your foundation. Consider your salvation. Consider your blessings. Consider God's comfort. Look to the Word of God today. It's a light given to you by God. These promises are to prop you up, encourage you. They are eternal and trustworthy. And then consider God's work. Focus your attention today on the eternal and not the temporal. Wake up and see God's work in your life. If you're discouraged today, God wants to encourage you. He says, "Listen to me, hearken to me, ye that seek the Lord." The message is for you today. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father,